Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Park City, Utah.
Today Jill and I talk about land due diligence and how the four A's have now become the five A's.
This is an interesting story.
You want to let everybody in on what the
I'm going to drag it out. We talked about it last week. If you listened last week, you know what I'm going to talk about. But I'm going to explain a little more about it. It's four wasn't enough. This number five one was getting overlooked a little too much. And so now it's one of the official A's. And
I will
go into more detail here in a moment.
Due diligence is a checklist, a really simple checklist. When you're thinking about buying a property, it's like, well, does it have this? Does it have this? Well, there used to be four simple checklists to make sure you want to buy it. Jill added a fifth, and she was right. And it's, you know what? I was thinking about it. It's long overdue.
It is.
It was something we've been doing anyway. It just needs to be done every single time.
Exactly.
Now. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Chuck wrote, I was listening to old Land Academy podcast today and on the subject of building a buyer's list. Steve encouraged listeners to go to the Land Academy YouTube page and check out his video on scraping email addresses from LandWatch. Forgot about that. That was really smart. I've been all over that YouTube channel and there are lots of interesting and valuable lessons there, but not this one. That was about as real as it gets. That's awesome. Hate to call you out, Steve. Just kidding.
It's like a conversation with your wife.
It's hilarious.
You know, you're good at these things, but not
you
this
one. You suck here.
Not so much.
Yeah. You know what? You're cooking. We need to talk.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why we go out to eat all a lot. Just kidding. I think this is a great idea, but I do not know how to do it. The many scraping technologies offered do not seem to apply to a site like LandWatch because it's different. I know you're explaining this. I have three properties under contract and would like to add this to my marketing. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
There's two things going on here. By the way, Chuck's 100% correct. 100%. Used to be LandWatch was owned by a small independent startup company that is in the business of starting up companies and selling them to larger tech companies. And in this case, they started the company up and sold it to
CoStar,
which owns LoopNet,
Land and
Farm. CoStar's have
Lands of America.
Almost all but taken over. They're a good company. I like CoStar. They're expensive as hell to advertise on, which is my only gripe, but their exposure numbers are great. So they tightened up their security and tightened up a lot of things. And they used to have what's called a signature level membership in LandWatch, which was like, and we were signature members for years. We still might be, I'm not sure. There's, you know, in each state, there's four or five people that are land specialists, whether they're brokers or owners like us or investors. And they had their, that section was, you didn't even have to scrape it. You could just hire a VA to go in there and copy and paste it for you. So that's really what I was talking about. And then you could, for a little while after that, you can scrape the whole site. You know, kind of go to bed, run these scraping agents and pull out a ton of email addresses. The internet police are really, really cracking down on this, which begs to be, is it ethical? Not really.
Well, there's a new way.
I have a much larger point to make too, but go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's a new way of scraping nowadays, Chuck, too. It's called a VA.
Yeah.
And that's not scraping, and you won't get in trouble for any of that.
Yeah, and I think if there's two types of scraping. There's scraping for information that is borderline not ethical, which is what this is. And then there's scraping for information about, on Zillow, we scrape all the time. We just consolidate information into a spreadsheet form so we can make decisions. It's not like we're spamming people or contacting people against email rules or any of that stuff.
Or using this in a not ethical way.
Yeah, think about looking at Zillow. There's, 2,000 or 3,000 properties for sale in a couple of counties that you're interested in. But you can't analyze the data the way you need it, so you scrape it all, put it all into a spreadsheet, and then however that makes sense to you, you look at it and say, yeah, I do want to mail this county, and I'm going to mail it for X price per acre. That's, I think, an ethical way of scraping. Do I think that's going to go away soon, too? Yeah, I think it's too easy for these sites or whoever the administrators for these sites are. It's just lock scraping down, and it's going to happen. And it happened on LandWatch already. So the bigger point is this. He went back, looked at Landwatt, probably looked at a podcast from how many years
ago?
That
was like 2015 or 16. Because I remember when we changed, when they changed the relationship that we had with them.
Yeah, we had a run-on with Landwatch.
We did not.
They had a really awful CEO.
There was a change of management years ago that resulted in us going, uh-oh. You know what it was? They stopped listening to and loving and being there for investors, and they were there for themselves, and I think it was money-driven. But when the first started, they were all on our team. And we were all on the same page. So anyway, it was really kind of cool, though. The end result was we made Landpin. You're like, you know what?
Yeah.
We'll make our own land selling site, and we'll make it free to our people.
Yep.
And we can really say, buy investors for investors. That's who we are. Done.
The big picture point is this. We're a technology company, and all of us are technology companies that happen to buy and sell land and real estate. And stuff changes all the time in that landscape, both with real estate now and especially with tech. So you can't go back, and I'm not picking on you, Chuck, at all. This is just an example. The tools and the concepts change often about how we buy and sell real estate. So some of the stuff in the program, our education programs that we have, some of the stuff that we've talked about over the years on the show, and Thursday calls.
Mm-hmm.
Gets antiquated, and it gets replaced with better ways to do it. So this is a huge issue for us internally, both Jill and, well, not so much Jill, but me and my staff at Land Academy, because the material percentage of people, the questions that people have are, I went to Steve talked about this stuff back in 1871, and, you know, it doesn't work anymore.
I have something I'd like to share. Just to cut to the chase, the most important thing here is Chuck's trying to build a buyer's list. So what do? You need to have a place that you can collect their email, collect their information, they can opt in that they want to be on your buyer's list, like we have been doing for years. On our land selling site, Landstay, at the very top, get on the buyer's list. You get the new properties in, you know, right away. It's easy, it's simple, and they're all opt-in, and that's what we've been doing for years. And you tell people about it. Put it on your website. Put it out there. We always have people that call us when the mailers go out. Every single mailer have a handful of other investors say, hey, I got your letter. I don't want to sell, but now I know what you're doing. I want to be on your buyer's list. Fantastic. I either point them to it, or I'll even add them myself. I'm like, no problem. I'll put you on your list. What's your name? What's your email? Okay, you're in there. Watch for me. Good, done, and thank you. That's the best thing. I just want to get that out. That's what you should be doing right now. And
do you want to address this other issue?
What other issue?
What this is about.
It's just about the buyer's list, building a buyer's list. Because the reason you want a buyer's list is because you can sell property really fast without even posting it. That's my goal.
Here's the big picture point. Mm-hmm. The tools. Sending blind offers to people who own real estate for the price where you want to buy it, that's less than what you think the actual value is, has been going on since there's been rent rolls.
Right.
Or not rent rolls, but tax rolls at counties. So 1800s, you know, even earlier. What's changed is the tools. And so we're no different. This scraping tool that I talked about in whatever, 2015 or 2016, has been long replaced. And that's the way education is, and that's why buying and selling real estate is. So the vast majority, not the vast majority, a very material percentage of the inquiries that me and my staff get go along, they're along the lines of this. Yeah, he talked about it in 2015, meaning me, and it doesn't work.
No kidding. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Okay.
No kidding,
that's
it doesn't
work. That's what you just
want
to get
across? It's long since been replaced, and there's
it's like having a video there. It's like having a video on there that says, here's how you do it with my Motorola flip phone.
Yep.
And you're going, where do you get a Motorola flip phone right now? You know, kind of thing. You don't.
So this Land Academy itself is not a YouTube video on how to change a light bulb.
Right.
There's some free thinking, intelligent stuff that's got to go on, and logic applies to everything.
That you needed to get that out.
Today's topic, land due diligence, the 4 A's are now the 5 A's. This is why you're listening.
And I understand. Okay. So here's a scoop. As Stephen alluded to a few minutes ago, one of the things, this is a Stephen created, what do you call it? I can't remember what you'd call it when you have these A's. It's an acronym.
Yeah, it's not so much an acronym. I don't know what it is.
What it's called. Anyway, many, many, many years ago, way before me, Stephen had this buying criteria. It was kind of like around the office, hey, everybody knock it off. If it doesn't have the four A's, and even if it was because Stephen created the four A's and then shared it with other people as he was growing back in the day, it needs to have these four A's. If not, I'm not even going to look at it, kind of thing. So what are the four A's? They are, number one, access. Can I get to the property? Does it have physical, legal access? What kind of access is it? I'm going to go into detail on all of these, but some of this is your comfort zone. Like, I personally want legal access, period, on the properties that I buy now, because I'm paying big dollars, and I want physical access in some form.
Access.
And if it's four-wheel drive, I don't care. I just need to know, how do you get the heck up there? Because there's always buyers that want different things. There's some buyers that want to roll their Caddy up to it, and there's other buyers that just want to roll up in their ATV and their Polaris, and they're thrilled with that and go hunting with their buddies.
Very few buyers want to take their helicopter in.
This is true. So that's the number one A. The number two A is acreage. And it used to be the bigger the better. So in most scenarios, it still is. However, sometimes we're buying unique properties, maybe waterfront, maybe a certain cabin. I'm going for something else that I need enough. It's acreage that's appropriate, like enough acreage to build the cabin that we think should be there. Who are buyers gonna, what they're gonna do with it? So it's just enough acreage for the mobile home and the ranch that we envision, that everybody seems to be wanting in this area. So acreage that's appropriate to the use that you're kind of going for here. Number three is affordability, and that one never changes. That's
cheaper is better.
Exactly. You need to feel so good about the amount of money that you're spending on these purchases that you never lose any sleep at all. And that's how I feel. You want to know that if I did it all wrong, I'm still going to double my money and do just fine, kind of thing. Okay, good. And then number four, attribute. Okay. He's adjusting some equipment here. Number four is attribute. And that, again, is kind of it varies depending on the property. An attribute would be waterfront. An attribute would be near this part of the town. An attribute would be amazing hunting opportunities. An attribute could be the views and the trees and the stream behind it.
Next
something
to McDonald's.
Like that. Next to McDonald's. That's true too. You're going for a commercial type property. That would be an attribute. Now, and that's, we were happily coasting along with those four A's and telling everyone, if you're new or getting into it, you better have all four A's. Later on, you get experience, you're looking at some different things. You might back off on the acreage, you might back off on the attribute, because these other things are so stellar, it makes up for that. And you know what you're doing. You know the area, you know what you're doing.
It's not your first deal. Like, it's so cheap, I can overlook the fact that there's no attribute.
Right. That kind of a thing.
It's so cheap in one of the A's. Affordability is so good.
Right. So, cruising along, and there's always been this one fifth A that I've always talked about, I've already told people about, and I have it on my due diligence checklist. I have a sheet that I share with the planet. You can have it too if you would like. Just go to landinvestors.com and you'll find it. It's my inbound land caller sheet. What are inbound land seller checklist, basically. These guys call back, what do I ask? So I make sure I get the four A's. I'm aware of the access. I'm aware of all this stuff. And people have been forgetting it a little bit. And so we decided to make it a fifth A. It's officially a fifth A. And that is alive. Are they? And it sounds silly, but you know, it's a really important thing that some people overlook. They get so excited about the property, so excited about the access, so excited about the affordability, so excited how big it is, they don't realize the reason this property exists is because transferring title is a disaster.
Or impossible.
Because somebody passed on and now it's a jumbled mess. My legal ball of yarn. It's a legal ball of yarn to undo to buy this property. And the reason why this is so important is I have passed on properties for the sole reason. And usually it's because it's either impossible or the legal costs and the time, almost more the time than the legal costs, they go hand in hand, far outweigh what the property's worth. I'm not going to buy a property. Sure, I can buy it for $4,000 and sell it for $12,000, but it's going to cost me $5,000 in 6 months or more to get this attorney involved and undo it and everything. Well, there goes my profit. It doesn't make sense anymore. So that's why we now have 5As and not 4.
And Alive comes in all types of forms. Right. Alive is the best word that we could think of.
Because it starts with A.
Because it starts with A. For ownership issues.
Right.
You know, this comes in all forms. The deceased husband, a deceased wife, inheritance issues. There's it comes in all kinds of forms, and there's too many. But once you get into this and find out, you know, really what it is I love all these things about this property. The guy that's on the other end of the phone, does he own the property? Is he going to sign for it, or is it his brother?
Let me tell you, I can tell you exactly the words that I use on the phone. This is exactly what I say. And it's okay, and I kind of giggle about it, and they think it's funny and sweet. We're all on the same page. Seller calls in. I'm talking to Mr. Jones, and I'm looking up at the same time. I'm on NeighborScoop. I look, and I see, oh, my gosh, you know, Robert and Carol Jones, and I'm talking to Robert. Okay, that check. And then I actually say these words. I said, all right, I know you're one half of the property here. Is Carol, I got to ask this, is Carol alive and able to sign? Oh, yes. She's in the kitchen putting the finishing touches on dinner right now. Fantastic. That's all I need. And that's where I came up with the A, alive and able to sign. That's why I call that term. And because that's what you're trying to find out.
You think there'll ever be 6As?
There probably will be 6As.
I think so, too.
There's going to be 6As. I'm trying to think what the 6A might be. I'm trying to think what else is really, really important.
We have thousands. And Joe and I have done almost 16,000 deals. I bet we have at least 11,000 deals in our database that 4As are fantastic. We couldn't get past the 5A.
Do you know what I think would be a 6A? Something along the lines of future potential use for a property, especially right now in COVID times. Mm-hmm. I am seeing
some word for usable.
Right? What could this space be used for? For example, pre-COVID, you might be saying, oh, perfect place for a hotel. Well, that's hospitality is taking a hit, so that's not a thing. This is a perfect place for a cute little shop. Okay, retail's taking a hit.
It's usable. But so we need an A word for usable.
What potential use and the we'll have to come up with an A. If you've got an A, will you please
let us know.
Please put it in YouTube or put it in Facebook where the show is so we can see it and it'll get to us. Like A number 6 idea, because I'm now thinking of that. I'm looking at you know what? I'm only for commercial. I'll tell you right now, only commercial, because
I don't know, love.
All my residential, my rural vacant land, someone's going to live on it, camp on it, fish on it, you know, put their RV on it, put a mobile on it. That's all, that hasn't changed. But as far as commercial properties, some of the uses, that's going to be really interesting. That's got to be more fluid and change. And I hope the counties see that, and I hope they're ready for that. Like, hey, county XYZ, we all know all the retail space in your little area is closing, is shutting down. However, we need more medical facilities. Maybe there's a medical something.
I think that's highest and best use, which is really important. But I don't think maximizing use unless you're in a super urban setting matters.
Correct.
I think just usable. Like all the 5As are passed. You know, there's deals that we turned down, not a ton of them, but it's because you know what?
Oh.
I just don't think because it's too slopey.
That's what I was just going to say, because the slope sucks.
Yeah. Is it usable?
So yeah, good luck. Good luck getting there, but it's going to take you $1 million and a
zoning variance.
And an architect from 3 states over who knows how to build this kind of a property.
Exactly.
Which can be done, however, the whole point is here. Think of how your buyer's pool is. It's a real small buyer's pool.
But I love the fifth day, Jill.
Thank you very much. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on The Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on The Land Academy Show is called The Relationship Between Real Estate and Paper. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Thank you for letting me go on that. There's times that I obviously have a lot to say.
Jill has taken over in a real positive way, due diligence. And so she's become, once Jill and I joined forces about 10 years ago, I was all well into my career and doing very well. And if you follow us, you know that once we got together, it was times 10. So there's stuff that I've taken over and stuff that Jill's taken over just naturally. And due diligence, for some reason, she really enjoys it. You know, it can make or break a deal. I can get the mail out and send her, I can make her phone ring and make a million offers come in. And so she's staring at them. But they have to pass all these tests. And she has formulated, I have these cute little sayings, but she's formulated a way to say, in the end, hell yes, we're buying this property. I'm going to go to the bank right now. This happened 2 days ago, by the way. Or, you know what? I like everything about it except X. I'm going to pass.
Thank you. Thank you. That's quite a compliment. It's like, I know I have my version of that with you. By the time you bring, some of your tech ideas or some of the things that, company ideas, by the time they get to me, I know you have run formulas forwards, backwards, upside down, and it's going to be a hit. So, and I never question it. And I like to think that I know that about this situation. You don't question me.
Oh, yeah.
And I really appreciate that. You don't even have to, it's kind of funny. You're like bored now. You're like, I don't even ask. Like, I don't want, does it meet this? I'm like, we haven't even had that discussion in a long time.
Right. So,
thank you. And thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your listening. We appreciate your comments. And we'd really appreciate it if you check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.